Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm busy loving myself, putting me first. Now that I know I deserve more, I'm busy loving myself, putting me first. Made up my mind, I'm on my grind. My time to shine, you hit my line. I press decline, no time for that. I'm moving forward and right now. You're in my past, I've come too far to turn back now. Not going back, I see that everybody's sleeping on me. They really gotta see it to believe.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of I Love Be More, period, podcast. And this is a podcast where we sit down, we talk to women about their trauma for the purposes of empowerment and healing. I'm Tara Wallace, and this is my
Dr. Jamila T. Davis here.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back. How you been?
Sis, I've been feeling so good. Man, it's our journey. Mm-hmm. It's the journey. It's the love seat. It's all the things that's making me go back and do the work. And that's why I think this whole movement, because I'm going to call it, this is bigger than the podcast, is a movement is so important because it's a journey, right? We're not people to say, hey, we're healed. We've got it all together. But what we're saying is we are women that are healing. And we're finding some things that are working. And we're learning from our sisters. And each day we're getting better and better and better and better. Because we live by the theory now that I love me what?
More.
More. That means I'm not putting people, places, or things in front of myself.
Exactly. And then it is all structured. We're not just guessing at this. It is all structured in a book. I Love Me More, 8 Steps to Breaking Free from Toxic Relationships. Guys, this is an interactive book. There is space for you in this book, and that's what's so amazing. You're going to have at the end of each chapter, there is space for you to do the growth work, for you to identify and to write out. And there could be spaces that you haven't quite gotten to yet.
Baby, because I see in this show, and y'all have seen, Miller got a couple blind spots too, and I ain't old, baby, especially when you get in, go up here with me. Baby, it gets real, right? But it's my life. It's my truth. But as I'm going, I'm healing, and now I'm bringing him into this.
Right.
So we're healing together. So this is good stuff.
But that's what it's about. You know, as we go along and we identify, I know we like to think we're perfect, and we almost are, but sometimes not quite. You want to go back and really work on that healing. You first of all, you got to accept it, right? And then you got to really go in and do the work to work on the healing. Yes. And that's what this is all about. It's not about perfection. About healing and that journey.
I mean, girl, I don't even know what to say. This has just been amazing. And now it gets even more, every episode, it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. Yes. So I hope that you guys are loving it. Not crazy in a bad way, but crazy in love in a good way. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, these are these aren't stories that you hear about like one-on-one. These are stories you may see on television, people sharing this kind of stuff if they are in the right place at the right time.
But they're not even sharing that whole truth because folks ain't even giving them necessarily a platform to tell that.
To tell that.
Right? Because this is the stuff they tell us to cover up, to hide. Shh, don't say this to anybody. But we talk about it. But not talking about it from a gossipy place or a judgmental place, but a place of healing.
And empowerment.
That's right. Well, speaking of that, baby, this week is something else. Oh, our special guest. Yo, we have a business guru here who's done such amazing things And it's just so crazy to see her journey and understand no matter how successful you seem and appear to be, there's stuff that you deal with too. But before we do that, y'all already know what we got to do. We got to pay the bills. And if you have not yet, please make sure you join us in this conversation. Keep us informed of how you feel about the episode. Go to www.blackwomenslivesmatter.com and make sure you tap in with us.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss our next guest.
Hello, friends. It's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis, and I have a special announcement. We are finally opening up the Black Women's Lives Matter community. So what does that mean? In real time, we can fellowship with you. We have this platform that we're giving to you for absolutely free. And it's a place where you can learn from other Black women just like you. And we're going to be learning real things, speaking to experts about finances, relationships, fashion, makeup, parenting. You name it, we got it in the community. It's a place that we can fellowship and also heal. We're also going to be having therapy in the community. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about to get off our chest, you know, and we're going to do it in a safe place where we can learn from experts about how to maximize our potential and become the best us that we can possibly be. So what does this mean? It's time to click the link in our bio and join today. It is absolutely free. It costs you nothing. And it will grow you so much, I promise you. So meet me in the community. You get to actually work with me this year. I'm going to be doing some one-on-ones. I'm going to be doing some group work. And it's all about leveling up. Meet me in the community. I'll see you soon. And y'all already know what it is. It's going down.
Welcome back, y'all. And we are here with our special guest, Miss Akilah Shabazz. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to have you on the show.
Thanks for having
me. You are in our infamous love seat.
Yes.
Where the transformation happens.
Where the transformation happens.
I'm so ready.
So you introduced her by her real name.
Yes.
But a lot of y'all might know her on social media as Mrs. Cash Flows. And baby, they call her that for a reason, because in cash, it definitely flows.
Yes. Well, Akilah, would you like us to call you Miss Cash Flow, or can I call you Akilah? Is that okay?
Akilah is just fine.
That's fine. Very good. So, Akilah, first of all, again, welcome. Can you please tell us a little bit about your journey? Where are you from?
So, I am from the south side of Chicago, Inglewood. And it's been an amazing journey, right? Every day I learn more and more about myself as I do these interviews from the field that I'm in, and I speak a lot and I get more insight. So grew up there during the crack era in the 80s, like a lot of people south side of Chicago who are familiar with it. I had a parent, my mom, who a single parent, addicted to crack. From there, she wasn't addicted like her sisters to the point where her teeth fell out. I think she was like addicted for like a year. So she
Wait,
was
hold on, sis. So you had your mom and her sisters?
Girl, so the story, right? It was my grandma. We were living in like a 2-bedroom home. So it was my grandmother, her sister, and her brother, and my grandmother's 6 daughters and all of their children.
In a 2-bedroom house?
In a 2-bedroom house.
How did y'all pull that off?
I don't know. It seemed a lot bigger than it actually is. And it was a lot of us. So I think my mom was the only one that had one child. The rest of them had 2 to 3 children apiece.
So you guys are going to school every day and then coming home, and this is kind of what's happening in the home. Like, people are on, like,
people are on top of each other, right? So they're not comfortable. You can't be comfortable like that.
Crazy. So any space you can think about in the home was used for like sleeping, like the back porch area. Like, if this is great, I'm just really coming to this realization. So like when you think about a home and you'll have like it was a 2-story home, and they utilized the basement for sure. They built out a bedroom in there. It was 1, 2 on the first, and then 1, 2. No. So it was 4 bedrooms. And then the back porch area, And then it was like a living area on the second floor that they had made into bunk beds where a lot of the kids would sleep. And yeah, we were on top of each other and it was literally just two bathrooms.
Well, was it fun as a kid? Like, was that fun because you with all your cousins and it's like playtime? Or was it like, hold up, I'm sick of seeing y'all?
At the time, if it's your norm, nothing's wrong.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, we had a lot of fun, you know. But we also, it was empty. It was a very, very disturbing place to be, right? I want to say we had, like, maybe one couch. My uncle, for whatever reason, please don't ask me why, he had dug up the basement floor with the intention of re-cementing it. That's all I can remember. But what I do remember vividly was that we lived across the street from a factory. And so we literally had, like, alley rats, like, literally in our home that literally just used to, like, if you stomp at them, like, they will look at you, like, you will have to run. How I survived that, I really do not know. I can remember my aunts, all of them were addicted to crack. I can remember
them. So this is from what age that they addicted? Like, how old are you watching addicted family members?
I would say from my memory, I had to be, as far back as I can remember, probably around the age 8 to like 11. So my mom ended up marrying her drug dealer when I was 11. That I remember. Right. So my mother, she was addicted for a little while, but her looks never were like denigrated teeth. You know how it is.
Yes.
Yeah. She never got to that level. So her drug dealer was a Muslim. He cleaned her up. She got deep into the Muslim faith. And that's where my name was changed. So that's why my name is what it is. I'm the wise one. That's what that means. And so I can remember, like you said, right? It was
fun. You are wise, which is funny because you know names. What you call your kid, that's eventually what they'll be. Yeah, so.
They said that my name is the meaning that wise, kill, right? It's an Arabic name. Mm-hmm. So I get information from the cosmos and I feed the people information. And that's crazy because it's kind of like what I do, right?
Yeah, I was just saying, I'm like, whoa.
That's crazy. Ah.
But that's why words are so powerful. But keep going.
Very powerful.
It's also really interesting, your grandmother and all of this, how she, the matriarch, how she kind of maneuvering this household.
So you have to remember that I'm digging back there. So a lot of my information may not be, this is over 30 years. And so all I can remember is she worked at a school. She was there. We didn't eat. It was times like everyone was on public assistance and everything. I could just remember feeling not cared for. Like, it was like, how is 6-7 different women in here getting food stamps, but we're starving? You know, like, it was so mentally crazy. Like, I can remember going to the refrigerator and just going multiple times as though food was going to appear. It was crazy, like, just starving, like, having sleep for dinner.
And she's your grandmother is like, maybe this is, like, just a lot. Like, you can't.
I can't remember her, like, to me, she seemed okay. I mean, I can't remember from that.
But she wasn't on drugs, right?
My granny was not on drugs. She worked at, she was a lunch school person who passed out the lunch at schools at a grade school. So we used to eat the lunch schools, or lunch. She would bring
that home,
like, home for us to eat.
Okay.
That was crazy.
So you were there up until, you said, 11?
Until I was 11.
And your mom,
I can remember.
There.
Yeah, so she marries her drug dealer. We move maybe 4 blocks away. Now I literally went from rags to riches. I went from starving, not getting my hair combed, not being cared for, to, do y'all remember used and damaged outfits and Dooney and Burke bags, like walking around, you know, rolling around in Rolls Royces, like literally.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like literally. So it something happened to me that I couldn't really understand. So it was a bunch of women in my family and we were cousins. We shared this trauma. And so we were close. We would get together in the house and cry and pray. And we used to talk about things like, you know, when I grow up, you know, I'm going to live in a big house and
I'm going to have a lot of food in the refrigerator. Like, we used to literally have circles like that. So for them to, what happens, we get out. They literally just ostracized me from the family. Like, I was exiled from the family because I was different.
The moment that your mother
upgraded,
four blocks away.
Yeah, so it's like, you're not like us anymore. So they started hanging out or doing things, and it just progressed over the years. Like, I'll see them on Facebook having a Thanksgiving, like, togetherness. And it just went on for years after that, and I just couldn't comprehend it. And it wasn't—
because they were more like your sisters, because y'all grew up in the same house together. So even though you're cousins, you're really sisters, and y'all connect like that, but then you lose that connection.
And it's like, what did I do? Like, I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm so young at the time. I'm like 11. So I would come around, and I got into this thing where I would try to, you know, pay and give them money, give them things. But the relationship just was never the same, still to this day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how do you feel like that affected, I guess, your those teen years, like growing up, like with friends and now coming from this house with so many people to now kind of being alone?
Like, yeah. So I remember getting a group of friends in high school, and we became very, very close. But what I came to find out was that I didn't trust women. I still struggle with that today. So I went into a male-dominated field where I was a network analyst because they hurt me the most. So I felt like, you know, I think what I took internally as a young person, like women, just you can't trust them. You know, so still kind of like to this day, and I try to force myself, right? And I was like, I knew she was going to cut me. You know, I should have just kept doing business with him. Like, because what I picked up, and I'll say this, women are real good. You don't know that they have an ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. They'll be your friend, but you're in an arrangement the whole time.
And do you find Black women be that way, though? Because I found Black women to be kind of like how your cousins were. Like, we don't want to do it. We not playing. Like, we not faking it till we make it. Like, we not on the Becky shit. Like, if it's like, girl, I'm not doing this. Like, or you find them to, you saying the ones that you encountered.
I had a
cousin. I guess you not have much.
No, I had various. So I had various cousins that I had various experiences with. Mm-hmm. So I had those, and I love it because they got me ready for these streets. Mm-hmm. And I say that to this day, like, hey, I love my family. I don't want y'all to think that at all. Like, I've healed past it, but I didn't understand it. But what I can say is I had some that will be your friend. And come to find out, she was a narcissist, right? I didn't know what a narcissist was. And she'll be like so charming and friendly to you, but then turn around and make up a complete lie. And you're like, what's going on? Like, it was disturbing. And so you being young and not understanding the psychology behind something like that, you think it's you. You're like, I don't know. Like, what did I do? But to be honest, when I look back at that, it was the best thing could ever happen to me. It taught me how to navigate people. I can pick up on certain things, just being in business. I was ostracized from them, which caused me to have a different life than them. So, you know, like when people are around each other, what I now know, environment is everything. So they all think alike. They all do the same things. They all have the same belief systems. And so I am different. So I became aware of that when I got into therapy years later. And she was like, you keep saying that you're the same. And so the therapist just started laying out all my accomplishments. Like, do they own property? Do they do this? Do they do that? Do they got these accolades? And then I'm like, no. And she was like, see, you think that you're the same. They know you're not. But they know you different. You don't. And it was just like a real awareness. And she was like, your accomplishments is like shining a light and cracking a mirror on them. So they can't accept you because they just can't. That's just the human way. And from that, it taught me to love them and just heal and just move forward.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is your relationship today like with women? Just honestly.
So then
I'm going to share something about me because I just see a lot of you and me, same thing.
So I only have a few. You got to have like a few traits about you. I can't pick up any competitiveness at all. You need to be open and sharing about everything. If I catch you in a lie, because I really feel like if you're a woman, mm-hmm. we have no reason to lie to mm-hmm. each other. Mm-hmm. Women should be very transparent. And I just recently had that with a girl who like BFF'd me, because I live in Atlanta from Chicago. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I'm your BFF. And she made a lie. And I just was telling somebody about this. I say she completely forgot her whole lie. It was about business funding, because that's what I do. But she completely lied and she forgot the lie. And we were wow. having a conversation. And I asked her three times. I'm like, you told me something completely different. So now that's a trigger for me. So now it's like, it's either you're lying to me because you got an angle or you have a plan or you're plotting. Like you have no reason to lie to me.
Lying to you to measure up to your standards because she doesn't think she's good enough. You know, that could be a thing as well. However, but what I was going to say to you that I see in common, I myself also seemed as a kid to be ostracized, right, from those that I loved. And I just kind of had to keep going. But then I guess as I look back, I had these traits that stood out that made me who I was and so forth and so on. But the dangerous part comes, God created us to work in kingdom, right? Yeah. So that's why we have arms, because the arms need the legs needs the head needs the arms, right? All of these things need to work in unison. And it's like trauma sometimes keeps us stuck from opening up the doors and then embracing our real sisters mm-hmm. who are God's kids that we have on earth. And sometimes I can even be guilty of it. I'll shut down. I'll lock in with my man because I'm like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Because I, too, have been hurt. I too, and baby, I done brought my, some of the folks that done hurt me have been on this good old couch. And we done talked.
Brought them to the red couch.
Yeah. But I see in you some of those things that I want to say, don't give us up on us yet.
Yeah.
Because there's some of us, there's just some real people that don't want anything except to love you. So I you want know, you to stay open.
Just in line with that, when I grew up in Mississippi, I grew up around like eight brothers. So I was always around boys.
Right.
Always boys, boys, boys.
Yeah.
And even in college, it was pretty much the same thing. But when I first moved to New York and I first met my first group of girlfriends, and they took me in and we were friends and we would not split the pole. If somebody's in the hospital, we all go. If there's a house party at 3 a.m, we get up, we get dressed, we go. We were so close. And when the relationships begin to deteriorate with the girls that I thought I had the most in common with, and I couldn't understand because they were all working. I was a starving artist, just making enough money to eat and go to school. They begin to have these issues that I could not quite pinpoint. The disrespect would be very loud. The disrespect would become extremely loud. Like if I come home and I'm with a guy, you know, she'll, you know, answer the door and inappropriately. And it was just something we never did. We never did that. It was always code. And I didn't understand what that was. And it took years and years and years for me to try to figure out what that was. And finally, you know, someone just like gave me this thing of all the things that she had these issues with mm-hmm. out of jealousy, but I couldn't understand it because I relied on her for so much. And I was like, so this is what it's like to have girlfriends? Well, thank God I didn't, you know, do certain things in college that put me around more women. But it made me extremely confused about that
the competitiveness and the jealousy.
And I didn't understand it either. I had never really experienced that before. And my true love for them, it was almost like a breakup. I had to break up with them mentally, you know, like you would a man, because I relied on their, you know, just who they
it
were.
Hurts.
So, and that goes back to our book, which is like your support system. Unfortunately, you know, when you have women and you're around them for such a long time, they do become your support system. They know so many things about you. And then all of a sudden, you guys just kind of break up. And it's like, wow.
So let's talk about this. So y'all are now coming to a full circle moment that I'm about to make you say, right? So now we abandoned our sisters because y'all do too much and y'all jealous and y'all all the things. So now what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
We go get with these men, right? Mm-hmm. And it puts us in a very vulnerable place, right? Because all we're looking for is a safe place, a place to share, a place to be. And sometimes with men, it's not even about the sex or the sexual encounter. It's about the friendship and the safety,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So because we don't have those relations with our sisters like we should, who do we turn to?
Honestly, I feel like you do need a woman, right? I had a cousin I was really close with. She fell off when I hit a certain level of success and just flat out stopped calling me. Still to this day, I don't know why. So you're right. That emotional outlet. So I don't dismiss women altogether, but like I have some female friends, but it's like we do business and I don't feel comfortable. All of my friends are married except me. So I don't want to be the friend dumping off my personal emotional issues and you guys are happy. Mm-hmm. So I show up happy. So I really don't have that outlet. But I am happy, but I don't have that outlet.
Well, you have it. You're here with your mother.
Hopefully, you
sister.
I can't join the community.
Money is a purge.
Yeah. Like, seriously, I don't have that anymore. So I'm business on. And I'm into masculine energy because I do business with men. And it's, you know, they don't have time. What are we doing? We're going to set. We're going there. We're good. Okay, Akilah, you speak at this time. You do this. You do that. Okay, do this. Do that. Do that. And then you talk to them. And then it's just like, go. And I'm never, like, dealing with my emotional.
Girl, I'm about to throw this phone because you make me feel like myself. Yeah. So to my point, right? So because I felt like that and I felt abandoned by women in life at times, right? Now I go get with these men, been in a series of toxic relationships, stayed longer than I should because I don't want to be lonely. I never wanted to be lonely from the girls either, but I stayed there with the man. I forgave. And now this becomes the cycle because of some hurt shit. And I almost feel like it's the enemy's way of setting traps for us to stay stuck in something that we shouldn't long. Is that crazy?
Yeah. And then if you don't have a sister, someone that you trust, because it goes deeper than that, right? Not only I feel like it's healthy for you to have a sister circle. So I think your community is highly important, and I will be in there purging.
Yes.
I might go on the pseudo name because I'm going to talk about a lot of crap. You need to purge. Not only that, you need someone that's not jealous of you because that's something, too. You can be thinking that someone is in sisterhood with you, and that just recently happened to me, and they're celebrating you and rooting for you. And they're comfortable with you until you get to a certain level. Then they are uncomfortable with you. And then the conversations just start getting weak.
Baby, let me take my shit. Because now we about to get to some shit. Now let's go on handship.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. So I had the same thing.
Yeah.
And the crazy part to me is I have friends who are successful. Folks got millions of followers, renowned, esteem.
Why are you jealous of me?
Little old me. All the way together, and you hating on me. So I get that, and it hurts so bad because you love them.
Yeah.
Right? These are people I look up to. These are people I'm like, oh, my God, this is my sister. But really, they don't be your sister.
I was hurt more by a female and by women than with men. Why? Because I was more vulnerable with women, right? And I just was talking to one of your producers about the fact that when I was thrown into therapy, I learned that I had what was known as PTSD of relationships through the abuse and everything that I had with my son's father.
We'll definitely need to go back.
Yeah.
We definitely need to go back.
Yeah.
My women to get to the son's father.
Yeah.
I feel, now I didn't hear the rest of the story yet, but my intuition is telling me the son's father was only allowed to do as much as he did because you didn't have
sister circles.
Come on.
And they didn't know. They didn't, because my sister circle at the time was my family. Yeah. And so when you're used to like how we used to kumbaya, come together and cry and purge, it became a part of who I was. And so to be exiled and not have that anymore and no one you can actually trust.
Now you have abandonment issues. That's a trauma. That's a trauma.
I just learned that right now. That's my first time hearing abandonment issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's literally it. And guess what that did? That caused me to not trust. It caused me to not be emotional. Mm-hmm. It caused me to, I learned a lot. So me not having them to lean on, I suffered for years, physical, mental, emotional abuse. No one knew that he was beating me in my 20s. No one knew.
And to allow him to beat you, which is the crazier part to this, because you started feeling less than. So when they left you, right? You started feeling like, I'm not good enough, right? I'm not enough. So you allow somebody to do something to you because if your esteem was where it needed to be, you'd be like, oh baby, we not about the...
You know what, though? Jamila, it's deeper than that, right? He was perfect. He was like the perfect guy for like 2 years. No beating. It didn't happen like from the jump like that. He was like the sweetest guy. I used to date drug dealers. He was the first guy that was not a drug dealer. He had a lot of insecurities. And because my parents, my mom married her drug dealer. We're in this life. I started to date drug dealers. My first boyfriend in high school, one of the biggest drug dealers on the South Side, right? You're driving and drop top 5.0s and chains and like rap artists and picking me up from high school. And he witnessed that because I was with this guy my entire high school years, 4 years straight. So everyone knew him. They just knew him. He was like ghetto fabulous, right? So my son's father witnessed this. So when I ended up dating him, he had insecurities and issues with that, but it didn't come out until I ended up getting pregnant by him, dropping out of college. And my mother was like, don't do it. He's going to think he owns you. I would help you take care of the baby because I went to college to Atlanta. She was like, I ended up getting pregnant on summer break at 19. She was like, go back. I'll take care of your baby. You know, you only have 2 years, like finish school. I'm like, no, I don't want to shack up. I go with him instantly. Like she said, now at this point, I'm 20, going on 21, pregnant, living with him. We've been together 2 years. Switched. Like, I didn't know what was going on. It was literally like sleeping with the enemy.
The whole time you're going through this, your mom's just, your support system. You have a close relationship with this.
With my mother.
Right, so you're...
Because she's not healed. She's no longer...
Oh, yeah. So at this point, my mom, they had went to court, lost all of the Range Rovers, the no more. Yeah, they fell from grace at this point, right? So she didn't end up going to jail, but they found a lot of kilos in the attic. And my mom fought a case for at least, they fought that case for at least 3 years, which drained them of every dime. She beat the case. But
she lost all of...
We were back poor. And now I became the person that went to college and I was hit with the black tax. And now I was taking care of her. and my sister and brother. I was tasked with that. That's a whole nother thing. But I ended up going with him and I can remember like, oh, okay, I'm going out with my girlfriends on the weekend. He's like, oh, no, you're not going anywhere. I'm like, yes, I am. You're watching me, right? First time, like, he slaps me. Like, I'm like, are we for real? Like, and just rips off all my clothes. Like, I said, you're not going anywhere. Like, sit down. And my friends come to the door. He's like, she's not going. And it just started from there. I was timed. I was working. I would go to work. If I wasn't home from work, like, he would time, like, I should be home from work within 15, 20 minutes. If not, I used to have to ask for permission to go outside. Like, say, for instance, Jamila, your birthday is March 8th, and we're having a girls' night. What's today? February 18th, 20th, whatever.
You got to go ask.
Like, hey, Jamila is having me, Jamila and Tara. We're going to go out to the spa on the 8th. He'd be like, okay, cool. So you'll try to be his friend up to the 8th. So it's the 7th. Then the 8th come. He's like, where are you going? Oh, remember I told you? He's like, no, you can't go. You wearing that? It was crazy. It wasn't that he would force me to stay in the house alone. He would sit in the house with me. It was very, very sickening. It was like he would stalk my phone. He controlled every part of my life, my conversations. I couldn't go anywhere without him.
So how long did this go on for?
10 years.
Wow. What kept you there so long?
I felt it was the sympathy. So he would cry and he would play on my emotions. So and then it just got to the point where I was like, well, you know, we're going to fight anyways. And I want to go to the club. So I would fight down 911. and he'll be getting locked up. I'll be like, all right, bye. I'm going to the club. Like, it was very, now very I'm toxic.
Toxic.
Well, it was toxic. A very toxic situation. Like, I used to just get him locked up just so I can go out. Like, that's it was crazy. Very toxic. So he would beat on me, I would beat on him.
But were you in love with him, or were you just, or were you afraid of him?
I was more so, I had no reference. I had no mentorship. I had, no one knew I was going through this. So I had no one to really talk to about it, right? Because my family was quite violent. So I couldn't go to him and say like that. They would have hurt him.
Place okay. During that time. See, the thing about it is all her other friends were saying that they wanted to go. They was abandoning her.
Yeah.
He's doing the exact opposite. So the very thing she feared about with them, she didn't have to worry about with him. So he became her safety. That's how I look at it. And that's probably why you stayed so long, because, see, this is why it's so crazy. It's like the trick of the enemy, because it'd be things from your past that set you up into this trap that if things were normal, you wouldn't be staying in this toxicity.
No.
So now talk to us about how you broke free, because I think that can help a lot of our viewers. What was the final straw that just said, oh, no, I can't do it. I got to love me more. I'm out of here. What did that look like?
My son, he was 5 years old. And
hey, ladies, it's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis here. And I got something truly transformative to share with you today. As Black women, we know the struggle with hormonal imbalances all too well. Whether it's dealing with PMS or navigating the changes of menopause, let me tell you, finding hormone harmony was a game changer for me, and I'm excited to share why. Hormone harmony isn't just another supplement. It's a phenomenon, y'all. Picture this. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Yeah, you heard right. This stuff is flying off the shelf because it's changing lives. When it comes to our health, quality matters. Happy Mammoth, the company behind Hormone Harmony, is all about making women's lives easier. They use science-backed ingredients that actually work. No compromises, just results. So let's talk about adaptogens. That's the secret sauce in Hormone Harmony. These herbal abstracts help our bodies adapt to stressors like hormonal changes, making them perfect for any woman experiencing imbalances. From hot flashes to low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back, sis. But here's the real kicker. Feeling like yourself again. That's what women are saying in over 17,000 reviews of Hormone Harmony. And let me tell you, it's true. I'm finally feeling like me again, and it was worth every single penny. Now, here's the deal. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. So you know what to do, sis. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your bottle. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it was the first time my son was coming into the awareness of the abuse. And it was the first time he literally, I'll never forget, I had like some French braids in my hair. He literally drugged me. I can't remember what the fight was about, but I was trying to run out the house to the first level. He literally took my braids and drugged me up the stairs, two flights of stairs by my hair. And my son was there. And that was something that broke the pattern. And he was crying. And it was the first time he, like, witnessed it. And I was like, I have to go. But I was in it for so long, Jamila, like you said, guys, I was in it for so long that he literally convinced me. This was my first major relationship. So I thought, even though I was making more money than him, that triggered something too. So at first I wasn't working and he was making all the money. He had all this control. Then he forced me to go out. I had to drop out of college because I was in a male dominated field. It was Caucasian men. I was a network analyst. So we used to do teams. So it was deep. And he would go through my phone and call people at the school. And these white guys are like, Charles called me. And I'm like, Charles, who was Charles? It's like, he said he was your husband and I can't meet for the project with you. And I'm like, I am so sorry. Like, it was really, I used to go to work with bruises and everything. So once I started making more money than him.
That really caused the issue.
You think you're better than me? You can't do this without me. You know, like, you won't be able to take care of yourself and this, that, and the other. And I started to believe it. It was crazy. And it wasn't until my son witnessed that and I had to go. I got out of it and I never went back.
Wow.
Yeah. What did getting out look like? Because that's really...
That's important.
That's really important. It's like really tricky because I feel like that's the moment when you finally decide to leave, that it creates a rage within the other person.
You know what? You're right. It wasn't as simple as me just getting out. So I was like, look, I'm breaking the lease here. So when this lease ends, you get your own place. I get my own place. I did that. He ended up moving down the street from me. He harassed me for like 2 years. And it was so crazy, guys, that I literally felt like he was going to kill me because he used to say, like, we're going to die together. He said, you and me, we're dying together. You're mine. I don't care what you think. And he's like yell it out. I don't know if you remember like the recorders, the voice, what they used to call them?
Where the voice answering service.
The answer machine. So I'll never forget. He used to yell it out on the answer machine. I know you're there. You mine. I'm going to kill you. We dying together. It got so bad and I feel bad to say this, right? Thank God he doesn't watch social media, but I had plotted setting him up and killing him. I really thought that I wasn't going to be able to get away from him. I was like, if he comes in here, I'm just going to go get a gun and I'm just going to let, I need to be free.
Right.
Because when you dial 911 so many times, they like stop coming. They stop responding. And I literally started to fear for my life because now at this point it's 2 years later and you're still threatening my life. So I'm thinking I'm free. I thought all of that was, I didn't think that was that bad, even though it sounds bad. Mm-hmm. But when you're in it and you get out, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done with that. I'm free. He moves and he's no longer in Chicago. I end up in therapy through my church. A friend, she's like, look, we're done with this service. I want to sign up for therapy. I was like, okay, cool. Like, who needs therapy? I'm not thinking this for me. So the woman at the table kept harassing me to sign the board. She was like, sign it. So I'm like, no, I don't need therapy. So I ended up signing it. Mm-hmm. At this point, fast forward, I'm out of the relationship with him over 10 years, a good 10 years. I'm in a 7-year relationship that I'm thinking is the first healthy relationship I have ever been in my life. But I'm toxic. Mm-hmm. I still didn't deal with my stuff. I'm controlling him now. He has to check in with me and, hey, where you been, you know, and all of that.
Wow.
Now I'm the...
So you're picking up the cycle.
Yeah.
The hurt people cycle.
I didn't know it. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to move in with him. I didn't want to have any kids with him. He's like, we're together 7.5 years, living separately. Like, that's insane. With no reason why. So I get kicked into therapy because he just couldn't take it anymore. He breaks up with me, right? So I'm like, you know what? They call me like, you're up. 6 weeks later. I'm like, you know what? What can I lose? I go to therapy. That's when we get to talking about, I mentioned the fact that I used to jump in my sleep with my boyfriend. And she goes down the path where he's sexually traumatized. And I was like, no. And I thought about it. I come to my next session and I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking I'm done with my son's father. I don't hate him. I don't have any emotions when I see him. I'm thinking we're done. I said, you know what? My son's father used to force me to have sex with him twice a day. She was like, that's rape.
Wow.
And then she just went down a series of questions. And then at the end, she gave me her analysis. She was like, you have what is PTSD of relationships. And she was like, let me explain to you what happened to you. She said you were emotionally, mentally, physically, and traumatized and abused. And I was just sitting there in shock. She was like, oftentimes Black people go through things like this so much so that they don't even recognize abuse when it's happening to them.
Wow.
And I was just in shock. And she was like, you should see her face right now. I was like, I'm in shock because how could someone that I don't think about on a daily basis over 10 years still affect me? She said, because you didn't process it properly. You didn't process the pain. Like, I didn't cry when we broke up. I just moved forward. I thought it was done. What it started to do, she was like, you see the pathology. She say, men know immediately when they want to marry you and be with you. Good 6 months. They've already determined if they want to have a long-term something with you. So especially at the two-year mark, right? She pointed out a pathology. Remember I told you guys that he was perfect for 2 years? So 2 years, she said, is the same around the time when a man is like, well, what are we doing? Let's move in together. Let's move forward. Let's make this thing permanent. She said, everything in your relationship was perfect. She said, and that's just like a PTSD war veteran. I would get triggered and I would just start going on autopilot sabotaging the relationship. Like, wait a minute. Do I like you that much? Because in my mind, with that experience, I felt like if I give myself to someone as their wife, as their girl, she said I always had 1 foot in and 1 foot out. So everything was separated, the finances, cars, nothing was shared. You know, you can buy me things or whatever, but this is mine and this is yours. Because
you always got to be ready to go out the back door just in case it get funky.
Wow. I never was 100% emotionally in.
Because sometimes I also feel that, you know, in these relationships where I, too, have stayed in a relationship way too long, and although it wasn't physical, I think what it does is it gives the other person space to perfect their toxicity and abuse.
They know you.
And they try things. And if you don't leave or if you don't do anything about it, they know what has worked, what doesn't work, how to pull all your buttons. And it just gives them space to perfect this behavior and never an opportunity, I feel like, for them to step up or for them to grow and become a better person. And I feel like I'm guilty of, you know, obviously I'm obviously guilty of that. And I don't think it didn't come from any of these things, but it came from me thinking the other person was just going through something. Like a relationship is not going to be perfect from the beginning to the end. He's just going through something, and maybe I should just really work on myself while he's going through something, be patient. And I think that it was probably the first notion that I had to leave, which was probably like 5 years earlier, that's what I should have done versus staying and let this person perfect how to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back to those points of insecurities. Mm-hmm. When you find out and identify that a man has insecurities, right?
Yes.
And it's not even about you, it's about them.
It's about them.
So it's about their things. So they have unhealed trauma, which makes them be this person who cheats or abuses you or whatever these things are, and you can't fix what's broken.
Right.
Like they have to go through their own healing journey in order to get free. So that's a whole nother episode.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis, and I got a special offer for you, right? It's my gift from me to you. You want to level up? You want to manifest the life of your dreams? Well, I'm going to give you a piece of the plan, right? It starts with my Manifested Now vision plan. So follow me. It's actually the template that I use each and every year to get into my goals, my dreams, and unlike a vision board, I actually put this document on paper with goals and dreams and plans of who I want to be and what I want to become. And now you could do it too. It's time to level up, y'all. It's time to be the best you that you can possibly be. And I'm going to give you the plan. And best of all, I'm going to give it to you for free. Click the link right here. Download today and level up. Make sure you share the results with me. This is the exact plan that I've been doing for the last 4 years. And each and every year is taking me higher and higher. And I pray it does the same for you.
What did healing look like for you after you find out you have PTSD? What did your process
look like? Oh my God, to this day, like when people talk about God, like God, I know him to be true because he's revealed himself. I've had revelation. Mm-hmm. I can literally go back in my life and pinpoint certain experiences or things where he interrupted it. I had no plan on going to therapy for any reason at all. Like, that just was not on my agenda at all. I didn't believe in it. I didn't come from a culture.
But thank God you did.
Here's what's crazy. My friend, she comes into town from Kentucky. Hey, meet me at church. I'm like, okay. You think it's random, but it's not. It's really not. And literally, I wouldn't be here sitting here talking to you guys. Without that interruption and that self-awareness, I don't know where I would be.
And how did this, affect the relationship with your son?
With my son? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's very interesting. So he was affected in a very different way. My son's father abused not only, he physically and did all those things to me, but when we broke up, he broke up with my son. That's interesting. And that hits me. And now he was like 5 years old. So he just loved his dad, like loved him. It was to the point where I used to ask my father, like, I don't think this little boy liked me. Like, he didn't acknowledge me or anything. Like, he'd run to his dad and all up on his dad playing video games, football. And they just had the best relationship, right? That was part of the reason I stayed, too. My son was, like, literally addicted to his father. So my father used to have to explain to me, because I grew up with a bunch of women. So I didn't know boys, men. I didn't know. So I used to get that advice from my father. He was like, well, he's good time daddy. You don't want to tell him to clean his room with all these rules.
Baby.
You know, he said he's having a good time with his father. That's his homie. That's his friend. Right. It's his buddy. To the point where when we split up, guys, and I was like, well, we're splitting up. Who do you want to stay with? He immediately was like, my father. I was like, well, guess what? It's too bad because you're coming with me, so pack your bags. But it went to mental and emotional abuse. He flat out ceased communication. He relocated to Mississippi, started a whole new family.
Mississippi.
He did.
That's where Mississippi.
You are. He went to Jackson.
I was Jackson State, I did.
Oh, did you? he goes there, and it was mentally disturbing to my child. Like, he couldn't understand, and I couldn't understand. He just broke up with him. He had no interest in co-parenting and nothing. And then when I started to struggle with bills a little bit, because I was a shopaholic, that's a whole nother thing. And I was used to the two incomes, right? So when the one income was gone, I was like, you know, you need to help me pay for his school. You know, because he was in private school. He was like, no, you know, if we get back together, I'll help you pay those bills. You know, I can take care of that. So he flat out just broke up with him too. Right?
Wow.
And he comes back years later. He would call people in my family, like my grandmother. Like, me and my son would go visit other family members. They'd be like, oh, your dad called today. Me and my son looking like, we haven't heard from him in years. Oh, wow. Obviously, he calls and he keeps a relationship with you. How amazing is that? And he would see us together and he wouldn't pay my son any attention. He would still be all up on me. And my son was like, it's clear that he just does not care about me. Like, to this, like, it just led my son, I believe, because my son has a mental illness, which is drug induced. So he pops pills. And to be honest, we're not really 100% clear on everything that he's addicted to. Very smart kid, straight A student. We did not see it coming. And when we went through therapy, when I put him into rehab and everything, this trauma with his father came out again. I'm thinking it's, you know, I'm not thinking it's a fact because boys don't talk.
They don't.
Boys do not talk.
So what you're reminding us is that our behaviors, our issues, our problems, us staying where we should go and all the rest of the things, this later on plays a vital, vital effects on our children.
Wow. Very, very, very vital. If I known then what I know now, my son cried like someone died. When I say like someone's like bawling, it was as though his dad was being lured into the ground or something. Like he cried like someone died. And he was like, I want my daddy, right? So to witness him do him like that, that was really a very traumatic thing. And what we learned in therapy was, you think everything is real up until the age of six. So him experiencing that trauma at the age of five has everything to do with his addiction to drugs and his identity to himself. He just never recovered from that. Right? And if no one, and that's why I think your platform is so amazing. When I saw the first episode, I was like, this is the bomb. Because one thing you should know is that it's not okay. Those experiences that we go through as humans, we are affected mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's not okay. You have to process what happened in a way that you can move forward in a healthy manner. You know, therapy, self-awareness, I think your community, so you need an outlet of not someone that's just validating everything. That's different. Like, girl, you're right. You're right. He's wrong. No, you need a professional to help you mentally process that trauma. Because I had no idea, fast forward 18, my son, straight A student in Northern University, full ride. He went to, we paid for him to go to, he went to the best colleges. I mean, the best high school. Full ride. I'm getting weird texts from him. In the middle of his first year of college, I'm thinking I'm living my best life. I'm traveling. I'm like, I'm out. I wake up to like a string of messages. He's like, the walls are talking. Like it's in the middle of the night. And I call my father when he was still alive. And I was like, my son is having a mental break. We have to go get him right now. We go get my son. He's so spaced out. We don't know what it was. It took a moment, guys. It took a moment because my son, you know, like some kids, they give you trouble. You may or may not like them, but you love them. No, my son, me and him, we were friends. I liked my son. Still to this day, like we were very close. We talked. He was my guy. Okay. And to see him in this condition, we struggled for a little bit because he wasn't someone, the pattern that you would think would end up on drugs.
How did we get
him? He didn't experience that. He wasn't drunk. We didn't catch him doing anything. He was the smart, straight A student. We see him spaced out, guys. I don't wish that on anyone. My son screaming on the ground, like out of his mind. Like, my God, right? And so you're like, what's going on? So we didn't know it was drugs. We just thought it was a mental break. They like, yeah, you know, sometimes when they're 19, this happens. He kind of concealed it. But what happens? We get him out of school. He's living with me. You got to remember, my background, I'm in the drug industry. I've been with people who sold all types of drugs and all types of experiences. And so he would be normal. And then I start seeing patterns. You know, he's a high MFA. He's on something. I said, I don't know what he's on, but he's on something. And so when we would drug test them, guys, it wouldn't even pop up. This new, these pills.
Wow.
It wouldn't even pop up. So for a good year or two, we couldn't even figure out. Guys, my son was in so many mental institutions from having snaps and breaks from getting high and drugs. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And if no one get anything out of what I'm trying to get out of my mouth today, if you go and experience any type of trauma, you, your children, just go talk to a therapist, talk to, join a sister circle, something. Yeah. Have someone to help you process it so that it's not processed in an unhealthy way, because depression is when you turn the anger to you. And that's what my son did. And he started, he's still struggling to this day.
So you know what we learned, sister, through this circle of ours? It's so important that you connect with people who are dealing with your same issue, because you're not alone, right? We have many people whose kids are struggling with addiction and different things.
Oh, wow.
And how are they dealing with it? How are they coping from it? Because you learn from other people who've been through it, right? One of the reasons why I wrote my book, Built to Outlast the Storm, is because when I hit the storm and all the walls crashed in, there was nobody to give me a guide to tell me how was I going to make it through to the other side of this 12-year sentence I had. You got to connect in, sis, with some folks that's going through it like you, made it over. I could tell you, hold up, sis. I did this. I was able to do that. Try this, try that. Or if nothing else, just to be able to relate to.
Yeah.
Because you're not alone.
And I know this. It's crazy. That's why I'm going to start a nonprofit for sure. There's no place for teenagers to go when they have a mental break. They're in a psych. Imagine your teenage son in a psych ward, like on TV, people, grown old men, out of their mind. He's the only young kid there. It looked like something off of a horror movie.
But
funny therapy just for that.
Further trauma.
Like to witness that and to see that there's not any place for them to be, or for them to stay, or they're taking these kids in, pumping them up with drugs for 3 to 5 days, and putting them back out on the street, and they're out of their mind, putting more drugs in them.
Now they're addicted to the addiction of the man-made thing that's being given to them. So now it's trauma on top of trauma, top of all kind of stuff.
First of all, my heart goes out to you. I have 3 sons.
Yeah.
And, but I do want to know, like, how are you coping with this right now? Like, without a support group, I feel like it's you know, that woman who kind of does everything right, but you're suffering in silence because you don't quite know, because you, in some respect, you've done what, you know, any mother or a father would want her daughter to do, her daughter or son to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I've done kind of all the right things.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy, Shara? Remember I said I see so much of her and me, I could answer the question for you. So you know what she does? She's successful. She works.
Yes, Mom.
She creates businesses. She talks. She speaks. She's passionate about, because you know all that shit is getting your mind off of reality of what's really going on. So I'm going to focus on what I'm great at. I'm going to focus on what I can do well. I'm going to give back. I'm going to help society as I can. But deep down inside, I'm still hurting and I'm still dealing with my shit.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I learned that in therapy, too. And both of you guys, right? Let's talk about it. This is some real shit. No, what you just said, they said that I had what was known as a complete emotional breakdown. Because an emotional breakdown is when things are expected to happen a certain way. I did everything right. Mm-hmm. I got him through the best schools. He had top scores. He got into the best college, engineering, math school. I did everything right. So he was expected to go on and be great. That didn't happen. So imagine you get to that point and the therapist was like, you just had a complete emotional breakdown. I didn't know what to do. I thought it could be fixed. And that in itself was quite disturbing. I kept saying, oh, we'll just put you in rehab because I'm an entrepreneur. I'm this boss, right? Every problem has a resolution. Let's get them in rehab. We'll fix them. We'll get them back on track. That never happened. It went year after year. He'll be sober. Then he'll relapse. He'll be back in the psych ward. He went a year sober. And then it happened again. And
is he in any support group?
Guess what? So I'm going to tell you guys something very interesting that happened. When I stopped trying to fix it and not accept that my son was an addict, I didn't want to accept it. It took me 5 years. 5 years. And I said, you know what? I have no control over it. Guess what happened? It resolved itself. Yes, he still does drugs, but he has not been in a psych ward in 2 years. He has his own place. I just literally was FaceTiming him. He's like, let me see the set. So even though he has his drug addiction, we still remain close. He still has to text and call me. But he's not in a healthy state, in my opinion. He's not living. So he gets high. I think he's learned how to manage it where he doesn't end up in a psych ward. And I think part of it could have been me. I could have had, I don't want to say that it's my fault, but I believe me not having control over him, he probably was trying to find his own independence. I think about that sometimes. And now that he has his own place, his own space.
I thought he was just trying to find out how to heal. Let's talk about why people take drugs. People take drugs because they're hurting.
Yeah.
And they don't want to feel the pain anymore.
Yeah.
They take drugs to block out what's going on. So that's why my spirit just said to ask you, does he have a support group? Because the same thing that we're missing with sisterhood, that's what he needs to pull him out.
He
needs that support group. He needs that place where there's other kids that are struggling just like him and they could talk about their pain and heal.
He won't do it.
I wonder if it's necessarily even there in a cool format where they will accept it. Like, nobody wants to go someplace to be
evaluated
or feel crazy. But if I go to the place where I'm with the homeboys and we able to kind of chill and just
get through this,
then that's different. It's not like I'm being mandated to a place. Like, you know what I mean?
If we can't find it, I need to create it.
Baby, calling all moms, okay? Look. Out there, if you have any of your kids that's going through drug abuse, you heard the story.
Yeah.
Pull up. We need to know who you are. We need to get these kids together because everybody needs community. Community is the thing, y'all. You can't fix life in silos. You know what I'm saying? I know I was reading the Bible, right? And they talked about the Tower of Babel, right? Like where all the people were on one accord. And I distinctively remember reading that, you know, God came and he saw all of these people working together to, you know, build this tower that was going to go all the way up. And he confused their languages. And what he said before he confused their languages, that if they ever got together, nothing would be impossible to them, right? So that made me understand and see that if we ever get together in community, because you got the arms, I got the legs, you got the head, she got the feet, we got all the things. And if we ever get off our craziness and put them together, nothing will be impossible.
100%. Because I'm in community and entrepreneurship, right?
Definitely.
And it works.
So let's just talk about that. You know, before we leave, we'd be remiss for you guys to understand the type of business guru we got in the chair today. So just tell our audience a little bit about what you do and how you get busy.
So I help entrepreneurs become funding ready, right? It's very confusing to navigate the banking system. And a lot of people use their own personal name and their own funding. It doesn't matter what level you're at. Artists. If you're in business and you're in movies, you're in music, you're doing anything, you are a company. You need to structure yourself out. You should not be signing contracts with your name. You need to be signing contracts in a company's name, getting tax write-offs. So it's crazy to me when you see these successful people on television, your favorite TV personality, and you're like, oh, she's $4 or $5 million in debt, or he's $20 million in debt, an NBA contract. Like, how did he do that? Like, all he needed, even if you just have a simple LLC trust and all that, it gets to the next level. But never sign anything and do business in your own name, right? So I help people understand that and just understand the funding that's available to you, right? Go on, get you a minimum of like $250,000, a new business, any business. Mm-hmm. Just, and we don't know that that's out there because why? We don't have, like, I come from drug dealer environments, like we stack bread, you know, like we don't go to banks and ask for money, but that's the American way. need to understand this credit system is the best thing we have going. And that's what I help people do. I help you get funded.
That's what's up. So make sure y'all need any funding, right? Mm-hmm. Sis got this together now. Check out where could they find you if they are looking to get funding, and how does the process work?
Oh, so actually, if you're looking for me, I don't know, but I offer a free course to anyone. So you can follow me, Mrs. Cashflows, on all platforms, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, MrsCashflows. There's a link there. You can definitely get started just by making your business credible. I give that away for free, naming it, structuring it out, structuring your LLC itself for funding. Highly, highly important.
Well, sis, I'm going to ask you a favor.
Yes, ma'am.
I need you to pull up in our community.
I would love to.
I was just about to say that. I like, definitely need you to
pull up. I would love to.
And another thing I want you to do is you definitely need a copy of our book.
Yes, ma'am.
It is me. I'm going
to beat you to the punch on that one, too. This is your personal copy from us to you.
Thank you.
And, you know.
And I'm a reader, so I will read this.
All right.
And not just read, but it's a workbook.
Is it?
It's a workbook.
I need
this. So there's space. I love to say there's space for you in this book, for you to start with your steps, go back to them as much as you need to.
Yeah.
And really start this journey for making this you season. You know, you've shared so much, and all of that has not affected your success.
Crazy.
So all things can be true at the same time. But it's really important for you to, at some point in this new journey, meeting us, putting yourself first.
I love that. And also, I'm going to say, I'm going to be a little bit selfish. Mm-hmm. That free course that you got, come share it with our community.
Right? I love to.
So if you come and meet us at blackwomenslivesmatter.com, that's our community where our sisters are. I would love to give you a platform to teach, because financial literacy is so important.
It's so important.
And we got an assembly of dope Black women who want to be more, do more, including myself, right? So I'm here, open ears, and with open arms to you.
I appreciate you guys. This is healing. I feel good. I don't get to talk about this. I can't wait to jump in the community, and hopefully I find someone.
And it's a safe space. That's what we do this for.
Yes.
You know, this couch, the entire purpose is for healing.
All right. Now, we gave you the book because Tara said that you need to get that, but voila.
I got some swag.
This is not a regular shirt. This is your affirmation shirt.
I love
that. That reminds you when you wear it that I love not you, baby, more, but I love me, which is you.
I love more. It. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Akilah Shabazz, thank you so much for coming to The Love Seat and sharing your story. You know, again, this is to empower other women who could possibly be going through the same thing. Jamila, another amazing episode.
Amazing. So many jewel drops. Mm-hmm. Just so many relatable issues. I told you, I feel like the sister that I never had because it's just so much of the same things that I went through. So I'm so grateful that you shared. And y'all, if you enjoyed this episode and want to talk with us and her so you can share your feelings, join us, y'all, for the after chat. Make sure you go right now to blackwomenslivesmatter.com. Make sure you like, subscribe, download, follow. Baby, this is the community for you. Because
we are
sisters.
In the community.
Oh, this was amazing. Thank you, guys.
On the next episode of I Love Me More podcast.
Most of the people in my family have been involved in the criminal justice system in one way or another. And so I always wanted to be a part of the change. Even when I was a kid, I felt connected to Moses.
This week, we have my dear friend, who's a lawyer, activist, a fighter, a survivor. So let's give it up for my dear friend, Ms. Leslie Redman.
2012, I have lunch with President Barack Obama. In my professional life, things are going good. I'm about to become student body president at this predominantly white school. I'm RA of the year. I'm doing great. Internally, I've lost my virginity. I get pregnant that same month, and then I have an abortion the next month. Y'all, I'm in the basement crying because Keith transitions. And she says, you didn't even cry this much when Big Mom died.
People that are hurting, they don't want to wait anymore. They don't want to feel that pain. And I can understand that because I've been that person.
Keith would have never wanted me to get an abortion if I would have got pregnant by him, right? How the heck did I end up with this guy?
So you are technically taking down all the generational curses or so we...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.